You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike Exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall President and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Wow, here we are, show number 143. I just saw a 71 Camaro leaving on the back of a flatbed. Now, usually that's a bad sign if a car leaves on the back of a flatbed in anywhere in the world except for here, because that means it's going to a new home.
That's right.
Somebody's just got a really cool 71
That is
Camaro.
A nice one.
And see, I like second-gen Camaros.
Mm-hmm.
And I like first-gen Van Halens, but I like second-gen Camaros. Steve and I were just having an off-air argument about Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth.
It got quite heated.
It was almost came to fisticuffs, right? Anyway, good to have you here. Good for everybody to be here. Got a wonderful guest coming up in a few minutes, but we want to take care of a little bit of housekeeping. And first and foremost, we want to say, where do we sell cars this past week?
Where?
Well, we had one day light because of that blasted Memorial Day.
Doggone holidays.
I know. You know, it's funny. When I was over here during the day on Memorial Day, and the phone was ringing like crazy. Yeah, it's like I was so tempted to answer it, but I thought, you know, the minute I go down this rabbit hole,
that's right,
I'm never going to get out of here.
Yeah, the shopping mall near us is open today. Why aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Lowe's was open, I'm pretty sure. So where do we sell vehicles this or classics this past week? How about Seminole, Texas, Okeechobee, Florida, Glenmore, Pennsylvania, Charleston, Missouri, Williamstown, New Jersey, Butler, New Jersey, Somerset, New Jersey, Parkville, Maryland, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Mechanicsville, Maryland, Glenmore, Pennsylvania, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, Glenmore, Pennsylvania again, Fort Worth, Texas, and Los Angeles, California. You know, and it's funny because I was looking on our website. The most traffic that we have is Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Second is California.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Florida's up there, too.
Florida's up there in the top five, and Texas is up there in Arizona. So I think that does round out the top five.
Well, Texas is big, though.
Yeah, it's a big place. So, and a lot of classic car guys and car guys in general that are in that part of the world. But as we say, arguably, Southwest or Southeast Pennsylvania is more car country than just about anywhere in the world.
It's unbelievable. they keep rolling in.
They keep coming. So, that's, you know, that's one of the things that we didn't know when we started, but we're glad we knew now. We know now.
Oh, you didn't do market research before?
Oh, no.
Before you opened the mall?
No, we just came and went and said, okay, we're going to do this and
roll the dice.
As the rest of my life has been. but thanks to, God willing and good luck and my great partner, a business partner, and of course my great wife who does an amazing job here as well too. It's all worked very well. So, and we're able to do this and have fun on a Wednesday morning with our special guest, excuse me, Dr. Ian Krantz. Doctor, it's good to have you on this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, he is the professor of pediatrics and medical geneticist and works at the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania and the University of Pennsylvania. 30 years you've been doing this, huh?
Yeah. I actually came to Philadelphia for 2 years of training and found myself still there. 30 years later.
Is it a true thing that the medical field in Pennsylvania or in Philadelphia area is the greatest almost anywhere? I mean, there's just so much, so many different doctors and specialists in this area. It seems like if you're going to get sick, it's not a bad place to be.
It is a phenomenal, what we call an academic medical town. So incredible hospitals and clinicians, but also closely tied with research and breakthroughs and new therapies. So it is a pretty amazing place. Not that it's good to get sick anywhere, but if you get sick in Philadelphia, you're doing well in terms of options.
I sometimes you wonder if, you know, God puts you in places for things like that. So, but not only that, not only do you have that cool job, which is, you know, helping people and doing all the good that you do there, but you've also, kind of turned your hobby into, a kind of a charity fundraiser thing for that. The Cool Cars for Kids, which puts on the Philadelphia Concours d'Elegance, coming up in June. How did that get started?
Yeah, well, I thought I needed a second full-time job as most of us feel. So I, like many car guys, grew up being dragged to car shows by my dad and my uncle, and actually fell in love with more of the classics, more so than contemporary cars. But always had that, like, in my blood, and have had the privilege over many years to own a few pseudo classics. I'm not quite in the stratosphere financially of owning like the dream cars, but
sure.
I've owned some pretty amazing cars. But because of that interest, you tend to gravitate towards other car guys. And that's what happened when I came to Philadelphia. I met a few people, Fred Simeon. I met Dr. Laird Jackson, who was at Jefferson, Mike Tilson, to various car activities. And we just, I remember over dinner, said we should put on a car show to raise awareness and some funds for the work we do for children with genetic conditions.
Sure.
And, you know, I was thinking, let's get together in a supermarket parking lot, do a Cars and Coffee, and
be done.
Mike Tilson said, maybe we should think a little bigger and shoot for a concourse. And Fred Simeon said, and you can host it at my place. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, not a bad start do something like Mike Tilson is a dear friend and puts on a wonderful event. Also, the Radnor Hunt Concours d'Elegance, and what a great guy! He doesn't think small; he always thinks big in everything that he does, and that's the way you know. Sometimes you need that because listen, to start one of these is a daunting task. To start in a new event in the car world when there's a gazillion car events going on all the time, you know, it takes a little bit of knowledge of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And when you can do it and have the benefit of having the Simeon behind it and Mike Tilson behind it, man, you were out of the gate doing pretty well.
Well, as they say, ignorance is bliss. We had no idea what we were getting in for.
That's us. That's, that's us in a nutshell.
And it did. It did come together in a nice way because we actually wanted to do this to benefit kids. Fred Simeon had a huge passion to get that next generation of children and young kids and adults into sort of the classic car and race car, you know, historic race car world. And it just all sort of came together. It's been a ton of work, but we're now coming up on our seventh year and becoming a fixture thanks to supporters like you guys at Classic Auto Mall and others. We're starting to become a sort of a Philadelphia staple.
Sure. Well, and the facility down there, for those of you who've never been to the Simeon Museum, it's an amazing facility and it's designed for events inside. So not only does it have plenty of room for the cars that Dr. Fred collected over the years, the 60 plus cars in there, it's got lots of room to add more cars or more seating or more events. We had Harry Hurst on last week, talking about the facility, but it lends itself really well and a big parking lot as well. So it allows you to have a car show on Saturday outdoors as well, too. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, it's been great for the concourse. So people who bring very high-end cars are very comforted to know that we are weather resistant and they can be indoors, both secure, from any damage, but also from any weather. But the museum is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And Fred, we miss him dearly. But he's an incredible individual. And I think it's one of the best kept secrets in the United States. I was here in Philadelphia and I'm sort of car guy. I didn't even know about it for the first 10 years that I was here. But once I fell into it, it's like my home away from home.
Yeah, absolutely. We've enjoyed going down there for many different events and also just to go down there and look around. I took a buddy of mine who was so excited to go see this place and he'd been reading about it for years and years and years and years. And when I said, I can get us in down there after hours, he said, oh my God, you know, he was just blown away. And of course was blown away when we went, and saw the collection. I mean, to see a real Cobra Daytona in as raced condition, pretty amazing. But not only that, you got Coach Dick Vermeil involved in this as well, too, who's got a great winery and that kind of helps out too, because he tends to come with a couple of cases of wine, right?
Yeah, it's great. It loosens up our auction bidders for the gala, so it's great.
Is that why I paid so much for that jacket that year? Dadgummit. I should know better than these things, right?
Yeah, Coach has been a supporter from day one. I actually got to know Coach through taking care of his granddaughter. So his granddaughter does have a genetic condition, and we were able to diagnose her fairly early on using some new technology that we developed at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and got to meet Coach and his wife and his family and developed a strong relationship with him, and then discovered that he's really into cars through his father. And ever since we initiated sort of the nonprofit Cool Cars for Kids to help support the show and other activities, he was there full support in all ways. So he's been a treasure as well to have involved.
Well, and what a great guy too. He's just a delight to speak to and talk to. And, you know, he kind of knows who I am now when we come into the same room. Cause I remember I was telling him my son was a Tennessee Titans fan and, you know, the Rams beat the Titans back in the Super Bowl. And, I said, can I get a picture with him? And he said, even better. He said, let's take a picture of the ring and send it to your son. Cause it'll really make him mad.
So really
rub it in. But you know, what a great guy. And for those of you who don't know, what the Cool Cars for Kids is focused on is rare diseases that unfortunately don't get the limelight. And maybe that's a wrong term to say, but if there's only one person that has something, it's hard to put a lot of research dollars towards it. Right. Versus there's a million people with lung cancer or something.
Right. Yeah. We struggle with it. There are a group of diagnoses that are called rare diagnoses. Sometimes they're referred to as orphan diseases because they're individually rare, but as most people know now, genetic conditions collectively are pretty common. They probably affect about 7% of all children born in the U.S. There are over 400 babies born each day with one of these rare diagnoses. So even though they're individually rare as a group of diagnoses, they're pretty common. And now that we have very good tools to diagnose them and starting to develop the tools to do more targeted treatment and therapies like gene therapy, there's a lot of attention being focused, but it is still, as you said, very hard to raise awareness about how this group of diagnoses are important and harder to raise the funds to develop those new treatments. So this was, you know, the concourse and Cool Cars for Kids was really meant to just increase awareness. We raised some funds. We've done very well. We've raised over $500,000 over the last several years through the concourse to sort of help with care and management and with treatment. But it's a bit of a battle to raise that awareness and to raise the funds that are needed to treat the families. Of course, they're very important to the families who are affected. They get very involved and they appropriately, you know, want the best for their children. And we're hoping to provide that for them through our efforts.
And we've met quite a few of them at the events as well, too. And it's very inspiring to think that, you know, you've got a tough life until you see what some other people are going through. And it humbles you, you know, greatly. And it makes you want to be involved with these things and, you know, understanding that there's a need for being involved in this type of programs and things like this. That's important for all of us to do.
Absolutely. And they're the inspiration. You meet these families, you know, like Coach Vermeil's granddaughter and their family. And, you just want to do everything you can for them and they deserve that. And that's part of what led us into this world is we kind of saw this analogy between these, what we call sort of rare diagnoses individually and these rare cars and what kind of the car owners do for their cars, you know, to make them as perfect and pristine as they can be. And families do the same for their kids. So we thought there was a lot of parallels there. And one thing we love that we've noticed, so we bring in, you know, a lot of the car owners who come into the concourse aren't really, you know, aware of what the mission is so much. They like to support good causes. Once they get there and they hear what we're doing, they completely buy in, you know, some of these owners who, you know, will be there with their rags and will polish off any little bit of dust that lands on their cars. By the end of the show, they're opening up their cars and letting the kids climb in, and it's kind of magical.
It really is. It was fun to watch. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Ian Krantz from the Cool Cars for Kids organization that puts on the Philadelphia Concours d'Elegance. We'll be back in just a minute.
The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at classicautomall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com. What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studios in Morgantown, Pennsylvania on a whatever day it happens to be what you're listening to. We never know when you're going to be listening, so we don't know what the weather is. But I like to talk about the weather for some reason. I don't know why. Joining us is Dr. Ian Krantz, a professor of pediatrics and medical genetics from the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania, which is a wonderful place. And if you've just the building alone is so amazing. And maybe there's more than one, but the one down that I've seen is down in King of Prussia. And it looks like a place that kids would feel comfortable coming into. And that's what you would want in a children's hospital, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why I went into pediatrics, honestly. It just, you know, even though when children are sick, it's sad, but it's a much more joyful environment. And CHOP has done a great job to build hospitals. The King of Prussia is actually their second hospital. It just opened a few years ago. The main hospital is in Center City downtown. But it's just a joyful place, and they build it to make kids comfortable and, you know, so it's never good to have to bring your child to CHOP unless you're coming for routine care. But if you do have an issue that needs to be addressed, you might as well do it with some of the best and in the best environment possible.
So. Yeah. Well, I think that most people would say that, you know, whatever it takes to make your child's life better, that just there's no number or amount or anything like this. Just do whatever you got to do. Right.
Yeah. And I bump into, I go to car shows all around the region, and, you know, you talk about cool cars for kids, and I bump into owners who had a child or a grandchild who has an experience at CHOP, and they're such huge supporters and willing to do everything. And we've recruited a ton of sort of great cars to come based on, you know, a family, an owner who has a family experience with CHOP.
Sure. And like you said earlier, I mean, a lot of people get involved with it just because it's another car event. It sounds like something cool to be a part of. However, once you realize the story and the meaning behind it, it becomes even more important. And it's one of those things that once you go once, you'll never miss it again, unless there's just, you know, no reason that you can't be there for whatever reason. And of course, you know, the cars that you guys get are amazing. I mean, the level of the classes and all of the cars. And of course, the featured mark this year is Jaguar. And, looking forward to seeing some really cool Jaguars. Are those only already two really cool ones there?
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, we do have that benefit of having the museum collection there. So when we bring in 30 or 40 cars inside for the main concourse, they're awesome. But you got the added bonus of seeing what Fred's collected. And many people who come to the concourse had never been to the museum. So they're sort of blown away. So, yeah, our featured car is actually Fred's 1953 Jaguar C-Type, which will be out front and center. But we have an amazing array of Jaguars from across all eras, from the very early SS cars all the way up to the more contemporary cars. And we've worked closely with the Delaware Valley Jaguar Club and Bill Beeble and their group to help bring cars into the concourse that are exceptional cars. We also got to have a Field of Honor, spelt the British way, H-O-N-O-U-R,
yes.
For the overflow Jaguars that didn't quite make the grade into the concourse, and then we'll have the regular corral beyond that. So there'll be a ton of cars there, not just Jaguars, obviously, but if you're into Jaguars, there'll be an incredible array to see.
Sure. Well, and like you said, the environment is fantastic down there. And of course, you do the preview gala dinner the night before on Saturday night, June the 22nd. And then the Concours and Car Show is June the 23rd, a Sunday. And, it's a lot of fun to be down there. It just, there's something about the feel of that building when you walk in it that, I don't know, it's like a warm fuzzy for some reason. And it's just it's very industrial in so many respects, but it just, I don't know, it just feels right.
Yeah, no, it's the gala is beautiful for anyone who wants to come. We take over the museum. We have a number of the concourse cars in place for preview. The whole museum is open to everyone. We have a really nice dinner and a band. Coach Vermeil is our MC for the night, and he's awesome. So you mentioned him before, but if you want to come talk with Coach, gives everyone his phone number. He invites people over. He auctions off Eagles tickets, and he provides the wine, as we said before. Yeah. So Vermeil wine, and he'll tell everyone about the wine as well. So it really is a fun night to see the cars, have a party, and all for a great cause.
Yeah, and that's the most important part about it. And you know, you talk about people and medical conditions and genetic stuff that's happening now. I mean, is there, what's next? Is A1, you know, artificial intelligence, is that next? And AI, I mean, is that next for what's going to be able to maybe help kids who have very, very rare diseases?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And we, you know, genomics is kind of at the leading edge of research now in medicine, and we use all the tools available. So artificial intelligence is definitely already being used to be able to look through the whole genome. Like the genome, it's hard to imagine. In every cell of our body, we have our genome, all of our DNA, which is 3 billion with a B bits of information. So when we're looking through that to try to find an answer for why does a kid have some medical issues or an adult or someone with cancer, we have to like plow through all of that material, and artificial intelligence is going to be a huge boon, not only to be able to find, you know, something that's really causing a problem versus what's just normal variation amongst all of us. So it's already being used, and it's going to start to be used even to come up with novel therapeutics,
right,
to figure out ways to take that sequence and all the proteins that it makes and find drugs that match it and treat it more effectively.
Yeah, very specific drugs for very specific things. I mean, it's always amazing that what they've come up with already that just targets specific things in your body. But what about all these armchair doctors, though, self-diagnosing on the internet? Got to imagine that can be a little frustrating for you.
Well, God love them. Sometimes, you know, people do die. You know, some of the rare diagnoses physicians don't recognize, and the parents go on the internet and they find the answer and they come to us. So it works both ways sometimes, but they're incredible tools out there. And we just advise people, you know, don't treat yourself. Maybe come up with a possible answer, but then find somebody who has some expertise with that diagnosis.
Yeah, I was going to remove a mole with a pocket knife, but I thought maybe that probably wasn't the wise thing to do. My wife seems to think that I somehow have self-diagnosed, but I really don't. I just, you know, it's funny. You can read so much stuff on the internet, whether it's about whatever subject you want to pick, and there's good information and bad information. So you know, you have to be careful and kind of know what you're looking for and know the source. But, you know, it's wonderful to see that, modern medicine can really become more modern, with all the tools that you have at your disposal. And like you said, I mean, to look through, you know, millions of pages of books to find something or to map every, you know, cell in a body. I mean, couldn't do that at all. And now it's going to become something that will happen soon, right? Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, it is happening now. And, you know, I feel like with all these great capabilities come tremendous responsibility. Okay. And I think we have to be at the cutting edge, find those answers, find the best ways to treat them, and give back to those families, you know, and that's part of what we're trying to do is help support that both through making people aware of what the issues are, but also raising some funds to be able to affect.
Because the answer you want to give a family is not, I don't know. It's, you know, this is what we think the path is based on everything that we do know.
Yeah. And families are tough. You know, it used to be, you know, when I got into this business, we had almost no answers. We didn't know, you know, the genes that cause everything. And then families were just so excited to have an answer. That was enough. But that lasted for a millisecond. And then they went from now you have an answer. Now we want a treatment. Yeah. So they push us and that's what we're put here to do.
Sure. And I understand that, you know, being a car guy that you are, you have the world's most expensive Jaguar XJS. Is that correct?
Where did you hear that from?
Oh, I don't know. You know, a little research, you know, I'm pretty good at that Googling thing.
I actually don't own that car anymore. I sold it a few months ago painfully. It was only the most expensive XJS because of what I put into it to restore it, but it was not the most expensive valued XJS, although it was a beautiful 1984 coupe 3.6 with the rare Gertrag manual transmission. So one of only 30 or so US spec cars. I sought it out. I found it. It was a pretty much a wreck. That's how I got to know Mike Tilson, because I started with him, and then we started the restoration process over about 7 or 8 years. And it was a beautiful car, but I parted ways with it, and now...
Now you got money burning a hole in your pocket. What are you looking for?
Oh, it's already gone. It went into a 2004 Bentley Continental GT, which I have kindly nicknamed the Beast, both as a beautiful, powerful car and another money sump. But it's a beautiful car.
So. What do they say? You can afford to buy a British car. You just can't afford to maintain one, right? And they say that about German cars as well, too. So,
yeah. Bentley is a merger between Bentley, German and British.
What color is your Bentley?
It's a dark beluga blue.
Oh, that's a beautiful color.
Kid leather interior. It's a showstopper, but,
I bet.
Yeah, it's, I've lusted after this car for many years.
Yeah, me too. I love those and, they're great cars and they make a nice coupe version as well too. Although I don't know that they still make them, but I know that they did for a period of time make the coupe.
They do still. This is a coupe actually.
Nice.
I'm a big coupe fan. I'm not a convertible fan.
Me too. I'm with you.
The XJS was the coupe too because I love those rear pillars. Mm-hmm. On the windows and
the flying buttress, I think we call them or whatever. Yes. So, you said you got started in cars from your dad taking you to car shows back in the day? And what did you lust after back then when you were seeing cars and car shows?
My God. So when I was a kid, it was funny because the other friends at school were all into the muscle cars, which were new at that time, but I kind of was looking at, Duesenbergs and 1930s Cadillacs and classic American cars. I love the old Triumph TR6s and Spitfires and, you know, so, I just had quirky tastes and actually never had the ability to actually purchase anything until I came to Philadelphia and, stopped the financial hemorrhaging for school and started to make a salary.
Right. That helps a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, what you're doing is an amazing thing, not only for the kids, but for the hobby as well. You know, the more that we can, like Dr. Simeon said, continue to keep young people involved in it and into the hobby, that we have a better chance for it to survive. And we hope that it survives for many, many years, as your event does. And you have a website, coolcarsforkids.org. Is that?
Coolcarsforkids.org. For the nonprofit, there's a link to the concourse, or you could go to the philadelphiaconcourse.com as well and get direct information. You can buy tickets or look at the program for the day and the events and for the gala as well.
Sure.
We do have a kid judging program as well. If you have kids, who want to get involved and sort of look at the car, we have awards that are specifically picked out by our junior judges.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on the show this morning. And don't forget June 22nd and 23rd, 2024, at the Simeon Foundation Automotive Museum, Cool Cars for Kids in the Philadelphia Concours d'Elegance. Dr. Krantz, it's certainly been a pleasure.
Thank you, Stuart. Thanks for having me and thanks for all your support.
Thank you. Take care. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
The Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 vehicles for consignment in our huge 8-acre climate-controlled showroom. It's a real indoor mall. If you'd like to know all the advantages of buying and selling a car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, convenient, and it doesn't matter where you are. We sell worldwide. See our huge selection of classic and collectible vehicles at classicautomall.com.
It's a museum, it's a showroom, it's an experience. The Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania is 336,000 square feet of rare, custom, and specialty automobiles on display and on consignment. From the earliest production cars to modern exotics, Classic Auto Mall is a feast for the eyes and the memories. Stroll through time in any season in this climate-controlled facility that you simply have to see to believe. Admission is free, just remember to bring comfortable shoes.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than 6 decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/AWR. That's 888-268-4783, or visit jctaylor.com/AWR Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studios in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Dr. Krantz was a wonderful guest. Glad to have him on. What a great cause. I have so much admiration for people that spend so much time doing work, good work for other people. It's just nice to see that it gives you faith in humanity.
Yeah, and he started this when? In 2018?
2015, I think he said. So they came through, they made it through the pandemic. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which is every reference point anymore to anything that we talk about.
It is.
Was it pre or post-pandemic or during pandemic?
It's either 9/11 or the pandemic.
Yeah,
9/11. How we mark things, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, in 1980 was 20 years ago. But it wasn't. If you hadn't got a chance, check out their website. Do whatever you can for the cause because it's a great cause. And it's
and
it's
if wonderful. You're listening in the Philadelphia area, head down there on June 23rd.
Yeah, 22nd and 23rd, or 23rd for the actual car show in Concord. It's an amazing event down there. And the Simeo Museum, if you've never been, you got to go.
And this is a great opportunity to go.
Yeah, it's kind of a, you know, two bird, one stone type deal. And it's really, the Simeo, when you walk in there, so many people, what I love is to take somebody there who's never been there, who doesn't really even know what to expect. They're car guys, but they don't, they have no idea what they're getting ready to see. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
Because you walk in that place and it's just chills just right up your arm.
Especially if you're a racing fan and race history fan. I mean, that's where it's at. Those cars are one in a million.
And the cool thing that Dr. Simeone did was that he left them in basically as race condition. He didn't go out and restore them, you know, to be all pretty and shiny. He made them as if they were just got off the racetrack.
Yeah.
And the Cobra Daytona, arguably the most expensive car down there, probably, I don't know, 30 million?
Yeah, probably.
Or more, maybe. Who knows? I don't even, that kind of zeros start getting me all whacked out. You know, it's just sitting there. It's dirty.
It's dirty. They don't.
There's a great picture of when I won with the auction, the Cobra jacket with me and Pete Brock, who designed the Cobra Daytona, and Chuck Cantwell, the father of the GT350, and Roy Schoberg, we talked about this last week, and it was just, and there's that dirty old Cobra Daytona. And most people to look at that car would say, what's that old hunk of junk? And they, and it, at one point in time, after they were built and raced and kind of forgotten about for years, and a lot of these race cars were just used up race cars that nobody cared anything about them. I can remember somebody took a beautiful 935 Kremer, Porsche, to Monterey, and it couldn't get a bid over 50 grand.
Wow.
You know, and it was perfect.
That's insane.
And it wasn't, I don't know, it was John Paul's car or one
that's
of those.
That's crazy.
And now those things are million plus. Did you see did we talk about this, the new 935?
No.
That came out? Oh, it is so cool.
Is it called 935?
Yeah, and it's got the Interscope colors with the Danny On guy. Who was one of my favorite race car drivers back in Lay Day. What were we going to do today? Oh, we were going to talk.
New inventory.
We're going to argue about Van Halen some more.
Yeah,
we could do that.
Listen, I'm not saying David Lee Roth wasn't
amazing frontman,
stage presence, the whole thing.
Amazing. He didn't say great singer.
Typical
right?
rock. Stuff. Well, there's nothing like early Van Halen. There's nothing like early Van Halen.
But I get your point. If you're going to find a replacement for Dave, who else would you pick? I mean, Gary Cherone from Extreme was a terrible choice.
Horrible.
Who was the other guy?
Gary.
And I love Gary Cherone. I think Extreme is an amazing band. They are the tightest drums and bass guy connection ever. But he just wasn't right for Van Halen.
Wait, did he play with Van Halen?
Yeah, like on Van Halen 3.
Oh, okay. I thought because he played with Journey too, didn't he? Like fill in for Steve Perry at some point.
I don't know if he did or not. I don't know. Boy, we're going way down the rabbit hole.
And before we leave the Concours, I have a question. The day before, he was mentioning the dinner and everything there. I'm guessing that's like a black tie event, like it is for the auto show.
It is. It's not. I don't think it's quite that formal. I think it's just a sport coat and up.
But as a friend of mine who was at a country club said, no dungarees.
No dungarees at all, and no straw hats and
corduroys.
Yeah, I like corduroys.
I do too.
And no corn cob pipes.
Okay. All right, just to clarify for any listeners.
How many cars do you think we have in inventory?
Oh, man. Well, I said 945.
924. Come on.
Wow.
And don't forget to catch us on WWDB Talk 860, part of the Beasley Media Group down in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And HD2.
Yeah, 97.5 HD2, which I still don't quite understand what that
means. That's all right.
That's okay. I don't need to understand that. There are certain things that I don't understand.
You're just the talent.
That's just right. The pretty
let
face.
Let us handle the others.
Just the pretty That's face. Right.
We'll handle the heavy lifting.
Well, I didn't mean to crack you up. Are you okay? You need a moment?
Yeah, I'm good.
Take a little bit of a break here
I'm
or
all
something.
Right.
New arrivals into Classic Auto Mall. 1967 Chevrolet Camaro RS SS 350 hardtop. Wow. Marina blue over blue with a white convertible top. Striking color combination on this car. I mean, it really stands up tall. Numbers matching, beefed up 350. And the 350 was an optional engine back in 67. So a lot of people went with the 327 because the price was probably a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. And they even could do the six cylinder in the Camaros, although I don't know if the RSSS could have been had in six cylinder guys, but we see GTs that are six cylinders and other makes and marks.
Yeah.
So it could be possibly. Mm-hmm. Numbers matching, aluminum cylinder heads, Muncie M20 manual, 12 bolt, 373 posi, miles deep paint, and a near perfect restoration.
Yeah. I love the headlight covers on the RS too. I mean, that just makes it.
It's iconic. It does. Well, a GTO from the 68, 69 era.
Yep.
At least have covered headlights, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people can argue with me, but you can't argue with me because this is my show.
I agree.
So argue, smargue. How about the 83 Datsun 280ZX Coupe? Cadet blue and silver over blue and silver, 78,000 actual miles, 2.8-liter single overhead cam inline, six-cylinder, five-speed manual. It's driver quality.
Yeah.
It's not perfect.
Right.
But that's okay. We like to sell cars that aren't perfect. And the reason is, and that sounds, I know, a funny thing to say. Why wouldn't you sell a car that was perfect? Well, do you want to drive a car that's perfect? Do you want to go out on the street or on the highway or behind a gravel truck or expansion joints on the turnpike or,
anywhere else.
I'm starting to get a little angry here. Sorry.
A Wawa parking lot?
Wawa parking. No, Wawas are pretty nice parking lots. And Sheets are too.
That's funny. Cause somebody, they did a poll a couple weeks ago, the worst Wawa parking lots. And one of them was in my town.
Really?
It is rough.
Really?
It's just tight and close and people don't care.
Well, and the way that now these city planners have made it so in order to, you have to have this landscaping requirement and you're going to curb a tire. It's just,
plus those pylons they put everywhere.
It's impossible to get in and out of a place. There's some places that you really just cannot figure out how to get the heck out of.
But you could take this 280ZX to a Wawa parking lot and not worry about it because it's driver quality.
It's
These were everywhere back in the day, remember?
Oh my God. T-tops, of course, which were so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at, the popular cars from that era, 1983, I mean, there wasn't a lot of options.
Right.
You know,
right.
82, the new Camaro had come out, which I didn't love at all.
Right.
I hated, as a matter of fact. I loved the previous generation Camaro, the Gen 2.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, would that have been Gen 3, the one that came out in 2000?
It is Gen
1982.
Three.
Gen 1, 67, 8, and 9.
Oh, right.
Gen 2, 70 through 81.
I should know that.
Yeah. And then in 82 came the new body style, which I, again, hated.
Yeah.
I was in California. I was in Southern California at the time when that car came out. And I saw it and I went, meh.
I like the Trans Am, though. They're doing the Trans Am of that era.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, were those the rounded ones or the more
style? No, they had the pointy snout with the beady eyes.
Yeah. I never liked the rounded ones.
Yeah.
The 90s.
Yeah, I loved first of all, the first generation Camaro is so cool. I mean, there's just no question about it. That's as iconic as it gets, especially in 69 Z28 form. But the 70 through 73 are the ones I really like.
They
were my favorite because they were prevalent. And we had got the Camaro Nationals coming up here.
That's right.
And last year they had three 71 or 72 SS396s, which you do not see very often.
You're right.
As from the factory that way. Maybe somebody's made them that way, but not from the factory that way. So that was the rabbit hole of that. How about the 1924 Auto Red Bug Buckboard?
Yes.
Red and wood over black. Reportedly owned by Lou Costello of Abbott and Costello fame.
Hey, Abbott!
I knew that was coming. How did I know that? Is this the mute button for JR or for my coffee?
No, it's coffee. We can hook it up, though.
2012 AACA National Senior First Place. I mean, for a Auto Red Bug Buckboard,
yeah,
that's pretty impressive. This thing is really
nice. I mean, the way to describe this to me, I mean, I'm not familiar with them until I had to write it up,
right.
Obviously.
Now you better be familiar.
It looks to me like a radio flyer with wheels. Basically.
Without the side pods and just, yeah, without the slats on the side.
Yeah, but it's got the same slats going forward.
It looks
like a sled.
And so horse-drawn, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
These are electric engine.
They're electric engine.
Motor. I
mean. Motor, thank you, because there's no such thing, right? And it appeared at the Edison Concours and the Eastern United States Concours appearance. Mm-hmm. And man, this thing was expertly restored. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing, I don't know what they spent to restore it, but it's way more than we're asking for it. I can guarantee you that.
For sure.
Because you think, well, it's just a small this mm-hmm. and that, and it doesn't have many parts in it, but all of that stuff just adds up. And if you buy, if there's something missing that you need, then where are you going to go buy it? At the Auto Redbug store? I don't believe they have those.
No.
Call Mr. Google? Well, that doesn't happen. So, you know, where are you going to find? Who knows?
It's very cool, and they were marketed for young men, actually, to start their driving
career.
but like kids, you know?
And you want them to learn.
There's some historic photographs in our photo set on the online when you go look at this car, and it's fascinating to see it early.
And it's sitting right across from us. It's just right over there in our main showroom, and it is a unique piece that really draws the people in. And as much as I'd like it to stay here forever, I'm sure our designer would like it to be sold.
For sure.
And because it was probably tough for him to let it go. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it's a neat piece. It doesn't take a lot of space. So it's not like, you know, you're thinking, if I get rid of that, I can get another. No, there's not room for another car in the space that it was probably stored in.
Yeah.
So,
It runs.
And it does run. And the timing's probably right. The market for that might be the best it's ever going to be right now for a number of reasons. Number one, because there is a resurgence, if you will, of electric cars. And a lot of people are talking about electric and hybrid cars, and this one being electric. So if you get a chance, check it out on our website, classicautomall.com, as you can see all of the vehicles. How about the 68 Chevrolet C10 short bed pickup, orange and white, black and white houndstooth interior. Man, this thing, I didn't really pay much attention to it when it first came in, and I looked at it the other day, and it's really nice.
Yeah, it was parked by our studio when it first came in, and we were all standing around looking at it.
I don't know how I sometimes miss things.
Well, there's a lot of cars here.
My awareness is lacking sometimes.
Sometimes you just walk right by them.
It happens. And did I see that? I don't remember if I saw that. Did I? But so many interesting cars come in on a daily basis. And then, of course, if I'm out of town for a couple of days, then it's really like, oh, my God, now I have played catch-up to find out what's
plus
in.
Plus, they get scattered.
They do. They put them away, and then they're gone.
I have to look it up on where the car ended up.
Find out what room it's in and go into that room. And, of course, I'm going to be gone this weekend to our fun place up in Connecticut.
Yes.
Greenwich, and we're going to go to the Concorde Elegance up there. And they have two Concorde Elegances, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. The Saturday one is the Concorde Sport, which is more race cars and fast cars, and then the Concorde Elegance is more Duesenbergs.
See, I don't know what's going on. What I know is that, how much time do we have?
47 seconds.
We all plan to go. We got four guys going.
Right.
We can all go Sunday.
Right.
And then he tells me that Di Tommaso is Saturday.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm missing the whole
reason. It's going to be gone. It won't be somewhere in the back.
Yeah,
either.
They're not going to leave them out on the grass?
No.
Just a few of them?
They got to put the, I don't know. But they
I'm just hoping some of the Mangustas will still be out on the lawn.
They very well could be.
I'll find them. They're going to still be in town. They'll still be in town.
Door. They may be on a reliable carrier transport heading down the highway, Cletus. You know, I don't know. It's, I would imagine some of them stick around, but I think they're two separate shows. I think one comes and one goes, and that's that. And
maybe I'll go up with you Saturday and hang out.
You can ride up with me. It's like $1 a mile. Because the added weight in the fuel mileage thing,
weight,
you know, absolutely. When we return, we'll continue our conversation about our new vehicles in stock and some other fun car stuff.
Whether you want to buy or sell a classic, collectible, or special interest vehicle, you need to visit the Classic Auto Mall website for more information. If you're looking to buy, you can easily search our inventory of more than 1,000 vehicles on the web at classicautomall.com. And if you'd like to know all the advantages of selling your car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, and convenient. Plus, we sell worldwide. We're always adding new vehicles to our inventory, so make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on social media, and check our website, classicautomall.com.
What do doctors talk about in doctors' lounges around the country? Find out on the Doctors' Lounge Show, every Thursday at 8 a.m., on America's Web Radio.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than 6 decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Back to the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio. Larry Lujack. Now, was he a DJ? Because I have a quote from him in one of my newsletters.
Very famous DJ in Chicago.
Never knew him.
WLS, the station that hit like 38 states. He worked in Seattle, too.
Oh, a couple other new inventory items that we've got. The 2005 Maserati Grand Sport Coupe. Anniversary, you know, Dr. Krantz said something interesting. He's a coupe guy. I'm a coupe guy. Yeah. Much more so than convertibles. I have convertibles, and I like convertibles.
You do have convertibles.
But I really like coupes. I don't know. There's just something about it, the impracticality of a coupe.
Right.
You can't use the back seat, generally speaking. They're not big enough for anybody to sit in. So it's more of a two-seater.
I would do like JR's car. What is that? A solid hardtop?
A convertible hardtop.
Yeah. I like that. I've owned the convertible Z3 now for a year and a half, and I'm not a convertible guy.
How many times have you had the top down?
Like 3.
Yeah.
Every time I drive up to my friend, he goes, what are you doing?
Why is the top up?
What's wrong with you? Just not a convertible guy. First of all, I burn, you know, in the in the sun, so that's an issue.
I rode motorcycles and I wanted some more steel around me, so I'm a convertible guy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I keep wanting to take my motorcycle out for a trip, and every time I do, I hear something about a friend or somebody in a wreck.
Or you just watch somebody change in lanes with just like going
so
by
close,
at 90 on a
dirt
bike.
Our friend Harry Dinwiddie, his brother, was in a horrible motorcycle accident about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and wishing prayers and all the blessings. And he was sitting at a stoplight, and a guy just plowed into him and his buddy just from behind. And
my wife's aunt got blasted this weekend.
It just, as much as I'd love to, you know, the freedom of the motorcycle and the at one with the road and the wind in your hair. Well, if you have any hair, but easily burned, you know.
Are you 90? I have to put sunscreen on every time I drive the convertible.
Put sunscreen on anytime you go outside.
I am 90 in a young body.
We were in Florida a couple of years ago, and I was purposely under a tent the whole time on the beach. Well, what I didn't realize is the reflection from the sand.
Yep.
It says, tent be damned.
Yeah.
I'm coming after you. And I was cooked. I looked like I'd been in a trailer fire.
Yeah. Reflection is everything.
Yeah.
Do we have any convertibles left here?
What? Yes.
Oh, because every time I come in, there are two or three in the bag finding new homes, and there weren't any today. And I went, oh, maybe we've run out.
No, convertibles are so popular. And it doesn't matter what time of year. People, you know, you get people who say, oh, we can only sell a convertible in the spring and only sell a pickup truck in the fall.
Right.
Not true anymore because it's spring and fall somewhere, anywhere, everywhere. And so it doesn't matter as much.
There's zero patterns here.
Yeah.
No patterns,
which is very difficult to be in business
and
have no kind of appreciable tracking or anything that you can say, oh, today we sold zero cars.
Right.
Yesterday we sold 10.
10, yeah.
Yeah, what the heck?
Nope.
People, could you be more consistent in your purchases of the vehicles from here, please? All right, that's my rant for the day. How about this Maserati Grand Sport Coupe? Anniversary blue over navy blue and light blue. 38,000 actual miles. 4.2 liter double overhead cam V8. Possibly one of one.
Yeah.
Could be.
Right, because of the white. Thank you. White piping on
the white piping on the seats or something.
Yep.
Yeah. And all kinds of service records. Listen, if you've got a European car, a British car, a German car, a Portuguese car, any of these, make sure you have the records. Because these things, the pricier they are to fix, the more documentation you need to have to make people feel comfortable in buying the car and knowing that, you know, in a Porsche, the IMS bearing has been replaced, or in, Jaguar, the rear struts are, you know. It's all the different things that these cars, things that can go wrong.
Sure.
And if you know that it's been addressed already, then you're much more comfortable in spending a little bit more money than you might. So, and this one is really, really, really a fun car to drive. And the blue, that anniversary blue is beautiful.
It's a beautiful car.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a lot of bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's important in this hobby. You know, not everybody can afford a $100,000 or $200,000 car, obviously, or even a $50,000 mm-hmm. car. You know, it's money's tight and times are, you know, times to batten down the hatches sometimes. However, we have cars at all price points.
That's right.
So you want to get in the hobby for 10, 12 grand?
Yeah.
We have cars here for you. And they're not, you know,
not shells. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not junkers.
They all run.
They're not sitting on cinder blocks. Is that what y'all call them up here in the north?
Is that what we call them? Cinder blocks, yeah.
I don't know.
Jack stands.
Yeah, well, redneck jack stands. Yeah. Redneck lettuce is potato chips on your ham sandwich.
What's that?
Yeah, redneck lettuce.
Redneck lettuce is potato chips on your
on your ham sandwich.
That's good.
Gives that a little crunch. Did you not know that?
No, I did not know that. Yeah, I'm still trying to taste peanuts. What are the peanuts called?
Boiled peanuts?
In the Coke. No, in the Coke.
Oh, yeah.
The Coke and peanuts.
Yeah, Coke and peanuts. Yeah. Or RC Cola. Or a big orange dope and a moon pie. And that's just an orange Fanta drink with a moon pie. Have you ever had a moon pie?
Sure, I have.
Yeah, okay. How about a Goo Goo cluster?
I've heard of them.
Oh, my wife brought some home. She's had a stopover in Nashville.
At a Stuckey's?
Yeah.
You know, Stuckey's is still around.
Yeah.
Remember growing up, the Stuckey's were...
Every trip's a pleasure trip when you stop at Stuckey's.
How do you know that?
I know that jingle. I won't sing it.
And you know,
pull it up.
But yeah, so Stuckey's and Howard Johnson's.
Yeah,
we used to go to. We'd eat breakfast every on our trip to Florida.
Right,
leaving Knoxville, we'd stop somewhere down in Chattanooga and eat breakfast. Then they had ice cream too, and Stuckey's and Waffle House.
Yeah,
they don't have many Waffle Houses around here, and they should because Waffle House is a killer.
Yeah,
they really.
This is like road trip food. We're talking about.
See, we
go down a show on road trip food.
We could absolutely.
Howard Johnson's was the bomb.
It was great. I loved going there. I thought we were really fancy.
Yeah, that's right.
Shoney's too back in the day.
Don't know it.
Bob's Big Boy.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Well, it's called Shoney's in the South.
Oh, that's interesting.
They had the hot fudge cake that was spectacular.
Yeah, and it was Elias Brothers in Michigan.
They had
different names.
Yeah, just different names.
Big Boy, but it was like a franchise.
I'll go you one further. Hardee's on the West Coast is Carl's.
Carl's Jr. Yep.
Carl's Jr. It's the same thing. It's just some kind of snafu in the old
branding
department.
That's
somebody
right. didn't yeah, do and their... I think Hardee's missed an opportunity. You know the kids' meal?
Mm-hmm.
They should have made it a fun meal and called it a Hardee Har Har.
It's good.
But I'm...
Trademark.
Do we not? Yeah. Yeah. But if you use that, you owe JR money.
A lot of money.
Last but not least... The 1962 Chrysler 300H hardtop.
Mm-hmm.
I love this car.
Yeah, we were talking about it. I love it. I love it too.
Formal black over saddle, 83,000 actual miles, and I love the names on the Mopar stuff from the 60s and 50s. The Golden Lion 413 cubic inch V8, dual 4-barrel carbs, A727 automatic front and rear AC.
That's right.
How cool is that?
And the consigner says this might be one also because of the rear vents in the back.
Right.
And he couldn't find another one that had that.
Yeah. So it's got an air unit that's in the trunk that blows up off the package tray.
Yeah.
Where we used to hang out on our road trip to Florida, right?
Totally. Lay down there.
We'd lay down there and have, you know.
You can't do it on this one because it's got vents. It's got raised vents. It's very cool.
It's a striking car.
And the back seat is like two bucket seats.
Right.
With an armrest. It's so cool.
Yeah. I always loved a four-door bucket seat car.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Charger, the 67 Charger, was it?
66, or even like Suburbans and Tahoes and stuff with the center seat. Sometimes they'll have a bench seat, but sometimes they have the two captain's chairs.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They're so cool and comfortable and so really neat. I just went away. Hello.
There you go. I'm back.
All right. Did we talk about this last week about the cancellation of the Malibu? We did.
No, I don't know. I've written it. I wrote it into one of the, because we took in a Malibu, but I wrote it into it. But.
That's the only, now the Chevrolet only makes the Corvette. Because they're discontinuing the Malibu. So it's going to be one passenger car made by Chevrolet, and that will be the Corvette. And I don't know, do Ford even have a passenger car now?
That's a good question.
But what's interesting is that Mercedes and BMW and Volvo and all those others have lots of passenger cars.
Sure.
So are we missing something?
Maybe we're getting beat out of the market. I don't know.
I don't know.
Podcast at ClassicAutoMall.com if you have insight into the American market.
Yeah, of automobiles are gone, and yet BMW still has probably 20 different models of sedans and coupes, and so does Mercedes.
So Buick doesn't make a
No, nobody's making cars anymore.
No LeSabre. No 2024 LeSabre or Regal. So.
Or LeSabre.
Yeah.
My mother had a LeSabre. That was the one I drove to Dr. Delosier's house.
Okay.
At 12 years old.
That's a 63.
There's a whole story there.
68 and a 77. We had
74 Buick LeSabre Lexus. 455 hardtop.
That's right, the 455.
It was white with red interior. Mm-hmm. Flipped that breather over.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was
a rocket,
cool sound.
A rocket ship.
My mother freaked out. When we were driving, she picked us up, my buddy and I, at school in Rome, Georgia, and we were going to South Carolina to the beach for a week after we got out of summer school. It was the only way they'd let us in the boarding school is if we went to summer school and got our grades up.
Yeah.
So mom picks us up, and she has me drive, and I'm 15, mind you.
Yeah.
And had wrecked the same car when I was 12.
Right.
And I was still, here I am driving still without a license, and didn't have a license obviously at 12 and didn't at this age either. So we're driving down through Atlanta, and I was ready to get around some guy who was making me mad, and I floored it, and I had flipped the breather over at the gas station, and she was like, "What in the hell is that?"
Yeah.
I had no idea what that noise was coming from it. So
that's funny.
So she didn't think appreciate.
She didn't think that was funny at all.
But we drove it all around South Carolina, my buddy and I, and again, 15 years old, different times.
Sure.
I mean, we rode dirt bikes on the street in the neighborhood that I grew up with, no turn signals, no headlights, no licenses, No, we weren't old enough to have licenses.
Well, they do in Philly now, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Some things don't change.
Yeah, we were the king of cool before it was cool, right?
Yeah, I had the LeSabre four-door sedan in high school. That was a chick magnet.
Oh, I bet you did well. Hey, I went from an Audi 100 LS to a Trans Am to putting the Trans Am on cinder blocks and driving a 1967 Pontiac Executive four-door hardtop. Though, see, I had the hardtops here.
That's cool.
And this car would hold. I was doing lights or sound for a rock band, and we could put the whole band and me and my buddy. You did the lights or sound, or I did the light. I can't remember. And all their guitars, except for the drums, in the trunk. And away we went.
Huge.
And I bought it for $300.
Wow.
And then when it stopped running, that's the one I left at the parking lot of the bank.
Right,
My dad said, you know, what happened to the car? And I left it.
Remember
what
that?
You mean?
That's in episode 140.
I had that 63 Falcon, and literally back in the day, it was fix or repair daily, and I couldn't afford it. And the Buick came along, and it was just, I bought it out of reliability. I needed a car that I could depend
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So last year for the Flathead VA, 1953. Just read that somewhere.
Okay.
I thought, you know, that's interesting. The Flathead V8 was such a bulletproof engine. I mean, if you have any kind of Model A or any kind of car that's got a flathead in it, and it ran when you parked it, it probably will run today.
They start it right up.
It's amazing what they do. But you know what the best-selling car in America is?
Yes, I do.
The Little Tykes Cozy Coupe.
What? Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
the little
funny.
Orange and yellow thing.
That's funny. You ever see the giant one? Somebody made a giant one.
I saw that. A real life.
Yeah.
Orange and yellow. First sold in 1979. The designer said it was a cross between a Volkswagen Beetle and a Fred Flintstone car. And it was what they called a foot-to-floor toy. Like hoof and mouth.
Yeah.
The foot-to-floor toy was meant you moved it with your feet. And there was a reason for that because not all kids could reach the pedals that for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I guess they weren't quite big enough. They wanted to have a broader market, if you will, for these things. But supposedly, over 10 million of these things have been sold.
I had one. I mean, I my kids had one.
Yeah. And so, most popular, best-selling car in America, of course, the best-selling car, period, is the Hot Wheels.
Ah.
They did $691 million in sales in 2023.
What? I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Introduced in May of 68, over $6 billion have been sold.
That's crazy.
They started them. And they're still as popular today.
I love
Go into a Walmart, and there's half a section for Hot Wheels. And I always tell my wife that I'm looking for the grandkids, but actually I'm looking for me. Because now they have cool stuff.
Yeah, you're one of the adults in the toy section,
exactly.
Like me.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway. 10 million produced every week, and the most expensive ever sold was the Beach Bomb, which was the Volkswagen van.
Okay.
And it sold for $72,000.
Right.
And they think now it probably is worth
$150,000. The surfer van, yep.
So. We'll catch you next time on the Classic Auto Mall Show with a special guest to be announced. See you then.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden, executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.